did the app for the podcast, did an update, and then the way I was doing it wasn't acceptable to them, even though I was still using their app to do it. And so there was about 3 months where the podcast wasn't, and finally got it figured out and got it back. And so now I'm going to make sure that we have it on every week. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. I want to put a tag on this text since it constitutes the context by which we attempt to teach and preach this day. And for a moment with your prayers, I want to talk about joy and happiness. Joy and happiness. Not love and happiness, as Al Green sang years ago, but joy and happiness. When I look around, it seems to me that there's a lot of joy missing from most Christians' lives. Just pick up the Daily Herald or Tribune newspapers, or turn on WGN News, or stand in front of a congregation and look out during worship. And I should have brought a camera last week so I could show you what I mean. No, don't get me wrong. For those that are gathered here, y'all look great, and I'm happy you're here. Sometimes when I look out at you, you don't look happy. More importantly, your joy isn't showing. I probably confused some of you, so let's get some definitions here, since there's a difference between happy and joy. It's possible to have joy even when you're not happy. The word happy comes from the Middle English word hap, which means luck, fortune, chance. Other words in the English language like happen, happening, hapless, happenstance, and even haphazard have the same root. The original definition of happy then was lucky. Happy and its sibling happiness is a feeling of contentment that is contingent on conditions around you. All right, let me simplify that. Being happy is based on what happens to you. No matter how often you pray, read your Bible, or come to church, you'll have some times when you're happy and other times when you're not. That's okay. So no need to pretend you're always happy. God knows we won't always be happy. My Bible tells me that things will happen to us that will make us feel different emotions. Just look at Ecclesiastes 3:1. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. For every season, that's really off key there, so I want to stop that. Those seasons include a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Even Isaiah's prophecy of the Messiah calls him a suffering servant, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Now, I tried to see how many times happy appeared in the Bible by trying to look at Hebrew and Greek, but the problem is that the equivalent words in Hebrew or Greek aren't always translated the same way, so that number changes between translations. In the New Revised Standard Version, so I decided to stick with English in one translation, happy appears in the Old Testament 56 times, and happiness once. In the New Testament, happy is used once, and that time, it would be better translated as rejoicing. Jesus, the suffering servant, never talked about being happy. But the Bible and Jesus regularly talk about joy. You heard it just 3 times in our psalm this morning. Joy appears 196 times in the NRSV. Add in joyful and rejoicing, and we have almost 250 occurrences. God wants us to experience the joy of the Lord over the happiness of the world. That's because happiness is temporary. Just think about it. You know there have been times when you were really happy about something. only to have that happiness snatched from you in an instant. Jesus knew this. He told his disciples, "Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." In other words, grief, sorrow, like happiness, is fleeting when you have joy. Psalm 30 put it this way, "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning." Joy is a solid foundation that supports all of our emotions and makes them healthy, including happiness and grief. That's why joy isn't a recommendation, but a command. Paul puts it this way, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Paul makes it clear how important joy is when he tells the church in Galatia, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." We know how important it is to love. We've talked about it the last 2 weeks. Jesus even tells us how important it is in our gospel text. Love is important. Now just look at what's second on this list from Paul. Joy. It's even more important than peace. There are fruit of the spirits. These are fruit of the spirit, and joy is a very important fruit. By your fruit, you shall know them. It's true, even in our gospel text. After talking about love, the next thing Jesus says is, "I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." The Koine Greek word translated as complete could also be made full. So Jesus, who's on his way to the cross, Jesus, who's about to experience unbelievable pain and sorrow, Jesus, who knows his beloved ones will go through some difficult times that will start in just a few days, tells them some things so that their joy may be made full. Jesus wanted their joy made full, and he wants us as his beloved ones also to have our joy made full as well. All right, Daryl, Jesus wants our joy made full, but you haven't given us a definition of joy. I didn't forget. I was just waiting for the right time. Merriam-Webster defines joy as the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. It also says it's a state of happiness or felicity. See, y'all missed it. Happy is based on the lucky things that happen to me outside, but joy is on the inside. Being happy is about stuff that happens in the world. Good things happen and bad things happen. That's the world we live in. But this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Our joy comes from being grateful. God saved us when we were most undeserving and gave us promises. So we're grateful for a loving God. 2 Peter 1:4 says, "Thus he has given us through these things his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of lust and may become participants of the divine nature." That's a good reason to be grateful. That's a good reason to have joy. Here's the biblical formula for joy. Pour into your life some gratitude, humility, forgiveness, faith, hope, patience, and love. Then take out of your life resentment, anger, fear, worry, greed, jealousy, pride, and complaining, and you'll have joy. That means when you've gone through so much that you can't even remember where you've been. Been to the doctor so many times that she doesn't even remember how many times you've had been in for chemotherapy. How long you've been living in constant pain. How many bones were broken in the car accident. You don't have to be happy about those. But because you're grateful for all that God has done for you, provided you with doctors, nurses, and medicines, and placed a loving spouse or friend there to help you in the midst of your pain, spared your life in that car accident, you can still have joy. Maybe you've been catching hell on your job and they've made you so mad you want to quit. Maybe you're counting down the days until retirement, or you're retired and wondering how you'll get the pension or get that pension or Social Security to last. You may not be happy, but you can still have joy because you're grateful that you still got a job. You're grateful that you'll be able to retire. You're grateful that, as little as it may be, you still have that pension or Social Security coming in. With all commercials that tell us, you need this, and all the realities that shows that tell us, oh, you're missing out. The problem with our society is that too many people think that getting something will make them happy. If only I had this, then I would be happy. If only I had a little more to live on every month, I'd be happy. Too often you'll really want something for a while, and when you get it and you're happy, and then you'll get it and you're happy, and you're happy. But after a while you realize that it wasn't all you hoped it would be. Don't believe me? Just ask Bill and Melinda Gates. Happiness only lasts for a season, so you have to remain in joy. Your joy must be made full. To be full of joy, we have to resist our own self-pity and selfishness and our tendency to become self-absorbed. You'll never be full of joy if you keep concentrating on what you don't have rather than being thankful for what God has given you. All right, you better pick up your feet because I'm coming down your aisle and I'll probably step on some toes. Resurrection Lutheran Church of Franklin Park is a wonderful church filled with wonderful people. Any pastor should be blessed to be part of the ministry here. Despite how wonderful you are, you're not reaching your potential as a congregation. The biggest reason for that is, as a congregation, you sometimes have a deficit mindset. I gotta admit, I don't hear it as much as I did when I first started with y'all. But I still hear folks talk about what resurrection needs or doesn't have. We need more people in church. We need more children. We need more families. Oh, you know, it's an older congregation, so, you know, we don't have enough energy in the church. We don't have enough money. That's a deficit mindset. A mindset that encourages self-pity by focusing on what you're lacking, and it shows in your faces because your joy is not full. Church, we need to stop focusing on what we don't have and start focusing on all that God has given resurrection so our joy can be made full. Flip the script and look at the ministry here with an abundance mindset. For 2020, the average weekly worship attendance grew to 30 people. That includes all the people who worship in person and those we can confirm worship online. Those that we can actually count, that we know the names of worship online. There are people watching the service who we don't even know. And if you look at our average attendance based on how the ELCA says we should figure online participation, we have 152 people worshiping every week with us. Yeah, I don't agree with their way of figuring it out either. It's like, okay, if this is what you want us to say, this is what we're going to put. So, our food pantry ministry continues to grow as people see what we are doing and more want to donate to the ministry. Our donations have been so good that we had to add a couple of shelving units in the basement. We have four freezers now. I had to stop and say, we have four freezers, and most of the time they're full. It is a wonderful blessing with that. People in the community who had thought resurrection was dead after you sold the former church building realize now we are very much alive, and they're saying good things about us. And regarding the money, as the old saying goes, the good news is there is more than enough money in this church to do all the ministry God is calling us to do. The bad news is that a lot of it is in your pockets and purses. Let me break that down for you. The median household income in Franklin Park is $62,861. Now, I know everyone doesn't live in Franklin Park and doesn't live in this community, but I need to have a place to start. Resurrection has 35 giving units or households that are more or less active. This doesn't include everyone on the membership. This doesn't include everyone in our directory even. I went through and I was like, okay, that person's pretty, they may not come to church regularly, but they keep in touch and they do this and that, So 35 units is what I came out with as giving units. So the congregation isn't composed of a lot of people living below the poverty line. Now, based on those numbers, 68,000 or 62,035 units, giving units, if every giving unit gave just 5% of their income to the church for the glory of God, it could be over $110,000 for ministry. If families followed what the Bible teaches and tithe, gave 10% of their income, that would be over $220,000. Just imagine the ministry that could be done in this place, which is how I know that even though this is a happy church, it's not a church full of joy. Tithing comes from a place of joy because you're grateful for what God has provided you, no matter how little it may be, and you give back to God out of that joy. I told you I might step on some toes. Anyone who feels that I stepped on theirs is more than welcome to talk with me later. I'm glad to talk about this more. But before I finish, let me give you some help in being full of joy. Colossians 3:16 and 17 say, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your heart, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In other words, come to worship every week and with a grateful heart. When I mean come to worship, I don't mean necessarily physically. Online is an acceptable way, but you got to come every week and with a grateful heart. James 5:13 says, are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Pray. Sing songs. Remember who God is even when you're not happy. Maybe make a choice to have joy. When you let your joy show and be full, you can learn to rejoice even in times of trial. James also tells us in chapter 1, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. And if you are tired of non-believers or ultra-conservative Christians picking on you because of your faith, just remember what Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Paul put it this way to the church in Rome. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Even when times are tough, even when suffering is all around us, we can still have joy. We can still rejoice thanks to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit acts as the oil of our joy and keeps it burning. Church, it's time to move from having a deficit mindset to one of abundance. It's time to let go of resentment, anger, fear, worry, greed, jealousy, pride, and complaining. It's time to embrace gratitude, humility, forgiveness, faith, hope, patience, and love. It's time to abide in Jesus by keeping his commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbors as yourself. It's time to not just be a happy church, but one whose joy has been made full. Amen.